It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
Welcome back to the PowerMizzou.com podcast. The last week before a bye week for Missouri and a huge game down in Nashville, Tennessee. Tigers going to take on the Vanderbilt Commodores. And to talk about this one, we are going to bring in Vanderbilt play-by-play man Joe Fisher, busy man, football, basketball, and baseball for the Commodores. But right now, obviously, the focus is the football team. Joe, how you doing today?
Doing well. Looking forward to a homecoming Saturday, and hopefully the rain stays away. But I think we might get a little wet on Saturday.
Is that right? I know it's supposed to come through here on Friday, so they're thinking this one might not be played in ideal conditions, huh?
Exactly, yep.
Okay, I wanted to just get your overall, first of all, broad impressions. My impressions is I look at this game, and I see two teams that look almost identical to each other. Two defenses playing very well despite offenses that really aren't helping them out. The only difference I've seen is Missouri probably hangs on to the ball just a little bit better than Vanderbilt does.
I would think that's accurate, and I think that's been the big frustration for Vanderbilt this year is it's one thing to turn the ball over when teams make great plays. It's another to turn the ball over on bad decisions or on plays where you're kind of handing the ball over, and I think we've seen too much of that with this Vanderbilt team, and so I think that's been a real focus this week. But you're right. Both defenses are very good, very stout, hard to score on. They change things up. They have a great pass rush. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think whichever team, quite frankly, doesn't make the big mistake probably wins the game.
And the mistakes, you mentioned Johnny McCrary, a lot of turnovers, and he's an experienced guy. There's been some talk down out of Nashville that the true freshman Kyle Shermer could play this week at quarterback. What do you expect Derek Mason to do at that position?
You know, he's kept that very close to the vest, but he was very open coming into the week saying, you know what, this is an open competition, and we're going to find out, you know, who gives us the best opportunity to win. And so I think we'll find out on Saturday when they roll it out there. But I give Derek a lot of credit because they're just not standing pat on, you know, this is our guy, this is the most experienced quarterback or whatever. And Johnny, I give Johnny a lot of credit because after the game last Saturday in South Carolina, he was very open about, you know what, I'm making bad decisions. I'm just making too many mistakes, and I've got to fix that. So they will go with whoever they think makes the best decisions.
That's yet another similarity. Missouri obviously made a similar switch about 3 weeks ago. Now, they did it for different reasons, but, you know, I told people when Drew Locke came in, that the reason I think that switch was going to happen at some point or another, there are mistakes you can live with from a true freshman quarterback that you can't live with from a redshirt junior quarterback. Do you think that's kind of the same thinking at Vanderbilt as far as the reason maybe they're willing to take a look at Shermer?
Well, all I can tell you is I've heard that that explanation, you know, insanity is doing the same thing expecting a different result. And so I think there's some of that going on, you know, in that regard. And Johnny McCrary has shown us moments, and he's shown us flashes where he has great athletic ability and has the arm and can run and do all those things. But then you have that, you know, pass into double coverage or trying to force one into a situation that's just not there. And they've tried to get him through that. And so I guess what we'll see this Saturday is, did he get through it this weekend, or will they try something else? We'll have to see.
Yeah, obviously Missouri fans are familiar with McCrary, have seen him play, and obviously none of us have any idea about Kyle Shermer. What kind of player is this kid, and where are the differences between his game and McCrary's game? As far as you know, obviously not having seen him in a game either.
Well, yeah, between the two, I would say Kyle is probably not as mobile as Johnny McCrary is. Johnny can get out on the perimeter and can run the football. He's big and strong. So that's an issue that opposing defenses have to deal with. Shermer probably is not so much in that regard, but he's a coach's kid. You know, he's a guy that grew up, you know, with his dad coaching in the NFL as a longtime assistant. So he's very well versed on football, and so he's got a great football IQ. I think he's very sound. He's very, I would say, unflappable in a lot of ways, which probably is a positive for him in that regard. So, I mean, so we'll see. I mean, I think they have an interesting decision to make. They've got Johnny McCrary, who's played quite a bit. They got Wade Freeback, who played quite a bit last year, has played a little bit this year. They have Shermer as well. So they just have to decide what's best for them moving on because, and I think Missouri relates very well to this. a very good defense. So it's like if our offense will just not give the ball away, we think our defense can keep you in a game. I think Missouri feels that way. I think Vanderbilt feels that way.
What has made Vanderbilt so successful on the defensive side of the football? Obviously, held Ole Miss to 27, which is pretty good. Held South Carolina to 19 last week, despite giving the ball away a bunch.
Well, they've done a number of things. One, Derek Mason has taken over as defensive coordinator. And so it's a very unusual situation to have a head coach and defensive coordinator. I think Derek's only one of two, in Division I that fall into that category. He's turned the reins loose a little bit. He lets them play very aggressively. You'll see blitzes in all kinds of different situations. And I think the guys like that. They feel like that he has a lot of trust in them, that they'll make plays and not give up the big play, which they, for the most part, have done. Gave up one against South Carolina. But for the most part, they've been very sound in that regard. They're solid at linebacker. I think very deep in that category. They're very good in the secondary, which you have to be when you play this kind of defense. And so I think a big part of it, just as Derek has given them, the reins, he's kind of let the reins off and said, we're going to turn you guys loose and see if you can make some plays. And I tell you what, in terms of they've been in the red zone a bunch this year with opponents. I cannot imagine a team in the country that has stopped more plays on first and goal from the five or inside than Vanderbilt has. They have been phenomenal.
Well, and that explanation, and me having seen Missouri, that explains why this is the lowest over-under in like 10 years in Division I football. And even at 34 points, frankly, I think it's a little high.
Well, I think a lot of us, and I think, I don't know, that's for amusement only, obviously.
Of course, absolutely.
But I think if a team gets to 21 in this game, they're probably going to feel pretty good about their chances. I don't think that's a surprise.
Yeah, no question about that. We're talking with Joe Fisher, Vanderbilt radio play-by-play man. And Joe, I'm looking at Vanderbilt's schedule. This is their first home game since September 19th, and then they don't have another one till November 14th. How'd that happen?
Yeah, the conference is not help us out a lot, did they?
No doubt.
We played three early and then on the road for a month and then come back and then on the road again. So, you can get down that path and wonder how you get in this situation. But what it comes down to is you just play what's given you. And so we'll see. It's homecoming for us. So there'll be a lot of folks on campus. And as you know, Vanderbilt is not nearly as big a school as Missouri.
Right.
So there'll be people coming in from all over, not only the country, but all over the world, to come back for homecoming, at Vanderbilt. So that hopefully will be a good crowd and a good situation. But, you get the chance to play at home, you need to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the crowds. I know when James Franklin was there, even when they were doing well, it was kind of a complaint that they weren't really filling the stadium. Obviously struggling in the last couple of years. How have crowds been, and how do you think it'll be on Saturday night? How much of a bump does homecoming give it?
Well, I hope it gives it a good bump. I think we'll have a good crowd on hand. And I think what people don't realize, Vanderbilt is in a unique situation in this conference in that we are in a city that also features an NFL team, a National Hockey League team. There are a lot of options, tremendous music opportunities. There are a lot of options out there for the entertainment dollar. And so really, and I've told, Vanderbilt people know this, people will come if you win.
Right.
They will turn out if you give them a winning program and show them that you can, do that. And so I think that's the challenge that Vanderbilt's facing. But it's not that uncommon. You have the Titans on Sunday. You got the Predators who are off to a great start, in the NHL. And so that's kind of the challenge you face when you're in a bigger city.
Well, you mentioned all the entertainment options in Nashville. It's my wife's favorite city in the country. I love that they have the SEC basketball tournament there every year. And yeah. I ask this of guys from the opposing schools all the time, because Missouri obviously is still new to a lot of these road trips, and a lot of fans are making their first trips to games. So if you've got a friend who's a Missouri fan coming in town this weekend, Friday night and then Saturday after the game, where do you tell him are the spots he can't miss?
Well, I tell you what, downtown Nashville has tremendously changed in the past few years. It is a wonderful place now. Literally, if you take a cab and tell them to drop you off on 2nd Avenue downtown, you will have a wonderful time because you'll have so many options, whether it's food or music or whatever the case may be, within about a 5-block area in downtown. Now, I mean, it has become a really great go-to place. It's interesting, and I know you'll appreciate this. Nashville has become the second most popular city in the country for bachelorette parties.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Las Vegas is number one, Nashville is number two. So if you come in on a weekend in Nashville, you're going to run into more bachelorette parties than you can probably shake a stick at. It's unbelievable how popular it's become there. So the combination of music and food, nightlife, and all those things, it's a great place to come. And so I would encourage folks from Missouri, you know, it's a great trip to make to come and enjoy the weekend.
Well, that's a fantastic thing that I hope the Tourism Bureau promotes. I don't know that this football game is going to be incredibly entertaining, but Friday and Saturday night bachelorette parties, I am all for. So,
we'll see. But I mean, there'll be plenty of entertainment to be had on Friday and Saturday, and hopefully the game will help.
Yeah, just want to ask you real quick. Moving off football, obviously SEC Media Days for hoops. You do the broadcasts there as well with all the talented freshmen Vanderbilt had last year. I've got to think this is expectations are pretty high for Kevin Stallings and crew down there.
Yeah, I think so. I think the combination of Damian Jones coming back, being in the middle, kind of anchoring this thing, and then the play of guys like Wade Baldwin and all these guys that have grown a year in the program, and Riley LaChance, and the list goes on, and then adding a wonderful recruiting class. This is a very deep, very talented, tremendous shooting team. And I think the media, and I think they're right. You know, to pick Vanderbilt number two in the preseason poll in the conference behind Kentucky, I think is reasonable. I mean, this is a team that we're going to find out a lot about early. They're playing a tough non-conference schedule. We're going to Maui to play in a great tournament, you know, out there on Thanksgiving week. And so they'll know a lot about them, but I think it's a team that has a chance to do some great things.
Well, Missouri basketball fans have terrible memories both of Nashville and of Maui last year, so hopefully it goes better for the Commodores. Then last thing for you, my full disclosure, my son has actually gone to baseball camp with Tim Corbin the last 3 years. I think he's fantastic, what he's built down there. And from a Missouri perspective, the question I want to ask you, how do you go about in this league where a lot of places the baseball is the second biggest sport on campus. How do you go about building a program in this league? What has Tim Corbin done so well down there?
Well, he's done several things. I think, one, he built a culture that you could win at this level, at this place. He came in and said, this is the way we're going to do things. He has his own approach on how he does things, whether it's practice or travel or anything. He is a very regimented, you know, guy that knows how he wants to do things. He had tremendous support from the university. There's no question about that. They built a wonderful venue to play in that is a bit unique in a lot of ways, as you well know, you know, with the left field wall and all those kind of things. He has tremendous buy-in. They have built guys that have gone to the major leagues, and those guys come back every year. It's amazing to see. And we're playing our Black and Gold series this week where the baseball team will play 5 games, inter-squad games, and I would tell you that a great number of major league players will be here to be a part of that and just watch that because they want to be back here and be a part of it. So he's built the culture, and he's done a wonderful job, and I think he's the best in the country in college baseball, and I find it hard-pressed to find somebody that could argue that.
No, I agree. And one of those major leaguers who will not be there tomorrow night, I am a born and bred Kansas City Royals fan, so I hope in about 36 hours we are wishing David Price well on his free agent journey this winter.
Well, what we need is we need David to win a start. You know, he's pitched in some tough luck. It's funny. Mm-hmm. He lost his last game, retired 18 batters in a row.
As good as I've ever seen a guy in the playoffs for 6 innings,
exactly.
No question.
I totally agree. Yep, you're right.
All right, well, Joe, I really appreciate it. Enjoy the game. Hope it's a good one on Saturday night, and thanks for taking some time.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
All right, have a good one. Joe Fisher, Vanderbilt radio play-by-play man, and, you know, good stuff there from Joe, and he's got it right. It's exactly what I thought going in. These teams, and I know it's crazy to say about a Missouri team coming off back-to-back appearances in the SEC championship game. These teams are a lot alike That's not a real good thing for Missouri, and frankly, I don't think that's a very good thing for Vanderbilt right now. I think Missouri's defense is better than Vanderbilt's defense. I think Missouri's offense hangs on to the ball more than Vanderbilt's offense. I don't know that I would say it's better because they haven't gotten in the end zone in 2 weeks. Vanderbilt has at least scored one offensive touchdown in every game it's played this year, so that would be an improvement. But Vanderbilt, huge questions at quarterback. Missouri doesn't have questions at quarterback as far as who it's going to play, but they certainly have questions about how well that person is going to play. So, you know, I don't know what to think of this one. I mean, I jokingly want to pick Vanderbilt 3-0 because, and frankly, I'm not sure it's a huge joke, to be quite honest with you. I think that certainly is possible. But this game is if Missouri is going to a bowl game, Missouri has to win this game. This game doesn't guarantee Missouri goes to a bowl game, but losing this game, I think, does guarantee that the Tigers are sitting at home in December because, quite honestly, if you look down the rest of the schedule, I mean, after this one, Mississippi State at home, that was one at the beginning of the year I had penciled in as a win because Thursday night at home, everybody's fired up. I don't know how you can pick Missouri to beat Mississippi State right now. Against BYU at Arrowhead, BYU can move the football. You're going to have to score some points to beat BYU, and Missouri hasn't shown an ability to do that. Tennessee and Arkansas, listen, neither one of them's having a great year, but both have shown more of a pulse in the last two or three weeks than Missouri has. So you're going to have to win this game and one more to be bowling I'd have to go back and figure it out, something like 10th time in 11 years, I think it would be. If you don't win this one, I have no idea how Missouri makes a bowl game. And again, maybe they win this one and still don't finish 5-7. And, you know, along those lines, do want to point out something that I posted on the board earlier this week, but I think a lot of people missed it. Missouri statistically has one of the 10 best defenses in the country, both in terms of yards allowed and points allowed. They're in the bottom 10 in the country in both categories on offense. In the last 7 years, only three teams have finished with that statistical anomaly, a top 10 defense and a bottom 10 offense. 2008, Tennessee. 2000, I believe it was 11, Connecticut. And 2013, Florida. Those teams went 5-7, 4-8, and 5-7. So it's very, very difficult to do. This offense is going to have to get better. There's absolutely no question about that. We normally have two guests on the podcast. We normally take a look around the SEC. I'll be honest, we're not doing it this week because, frankly, around the SEC doesn't much matter for Missouri right now. They can't win the East. Maybe mathematically there's still a way they can, but they can't win the East. So around the SEC, you know, everybody will watch the games. Everybody knows what's going on, but I didn't feel like we really needed to dive too much into previewing another game in the SEC this week. Wanted to spend some time talking Vandy and a huge game for Missouri. Obviously, basketball, you know, is getting ready to go. It will be, let me think, it takes me a minute sometime. The night after Missouri's next game in football, the night after the Mississippi State game, Missouri will host Missouri Western in an exhibition. So that is, I guess, 15 days away. The Friday after that, they open the regular season with Wofford, and then they play again on Sunday, and I'll be honest, I can't remember who they play. It's nobody huge, but this team has to get off to a good start. Listen, Wofford is a much better team than UMKC was last year. Wofford's a decent team. They're like a Belmont-type mid-major. They're good. They make the tournament a lot. They can beat teams. It would not be a shock if Wofford came in here and beat Missouri. Missouri can't have that. They have to have something good happen for them early on. We can talk, you know, till we're blue in the face about what needs to happen for this team and for this coaching staff going forward. We have to see tangible improvement. Does that mean a 500 record? I don't know. I think it means probably close to it, but I think it's also about the quality of play on the court, being in most games, not just having these non-competitive games like they had last year, not going to games and frequently saying, I think this is the worst game I've ever seen, which I said 5 or 6 times last year. So you can improve without maybe winning a ton more games. But listen, we can't be here in March talking about a 9-win season. We can't do it. You can't go 18-46 in 2 years and start thinking about year three. You go 18-46 in 2 years, we're going to be having a whole different conversation come next March. Obviously, that is a long way away, but basketball season is getting going. We are doing our best to line up Kim Anderson for the podcast next Thursday. Hopefully we will get that. If we don't, it's a bye week. We may take the week off. We'll wait and see. But either next Thursday or the Thursday after, we will be back on the PowerMizzou.com podcast. Thanks to Joe Fisher today. Thanks for listening. And Missouri Vandy, 3 p.m. SEC Network, Saturday afternoon in a must-win game for Mizzou.